morning's scripture reading is from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15 and through the end of the chapter. Chapter 7, 15 to 25. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Let's join together in prayer. Well, Father, may you guide the pastor this morning and quicken our hearts through your Spirit as we listen to your word expounded upon. That, Lord, your word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That we might do what you would have us do, and that we might become what you have us be, would have us be. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jim, for graciously filling in at the last minute there this morning. I knew Jeff was gone, just didn't know if he had made arrangements already. So anyway, all right. We come to a portion of Scripture this morning that is often used and can really be rightfully used to illustrate the struggle between the old sinful nature and the new spiritual nature of the believer. Even after salvation from sin, we can find this battle going on inside of ourselves. We know what is right, yet we do what is wrong anyway. However, Paul's main purpose here, I believe, is not to illustrate the commonness of this problem. It is to show why the battle happens in the first place. And as we take the overall context of this passage, we find that the battle happens when one is trying to use the law of God in a means for which it was not given, okay, not intended. And whether this is before salvation or after salvation, the results are going to be the same: failure. failure. I'm sure you've all heard the urban legend from years ago about the man and his first experience with cruise control. His first car with cruise control, he gets out on the highway, sets it to the speed that he wants, reclines the seat, folds his arm, closes his eyes, and about 30 seconds later, he's tooling through the desert, okay, out through the weeds. It's not autopilot, it's cruise control. He misused it. Or maybe you heard the urban legend about the elderly woman whose cat came in soaking wet from the cold rain, and she had just purchased a brand new microwave oven, and as she used to do with the convection oven, set it on warm, put the cat in there in a towel to dry it off. She put it in the microwave, just on low, mind you, and I'll just let your imagination run with that one. She misused it. She misused it. We had a wasp nest in our garage when I was a little kid, and not being able to find any bug killer, I turned to what I thought was the next best thing, WD-40. And as the wasp would land on the screen, the back screen door of the garage, I would spray them. And I think I used the entire can. Not a single wasp died. They got rather angry. None died. And my dad got actually very angry a few days later when he went looking for his WD-40. And there was none. And was scratching his head wondering why so much dust was accumulating on the screen door. I misused it. I misused it. And just for the record, wasp killer is not on the list of 100 uses of WD-40, okay? Well, people misuse things all the time. And I believe that every single one of us has misused the law of God at least some point in our life. We've tried to be righteous by obeying the law of God. But the law of God was never intended for that purpose, and it was never intended or designed really to produce righteousness. And any attempts to use it in that fashion will be met with failure. In fact, it may even get us into trouble. The law was designed to educate us about what sin looks like, and really then lead us to the one who can justify us, who can make us righteous. Jesus Christ, of course, is who I'm speaking of. In Galatians 3:24, it says, "For the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified or declared righteous by faith in Him." Well, so that we would not use the law as a means of trying to be righteous, last week we saw what the law was designed to do. This week, through three more limitations, we find what the law of God was not designed to do. So that, once again, we will not use it as a means of trying to be righteous. Our subject this morning is Limits of the Law, Part 2. Limits of the Law, Part 2, from Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. And again, instead of seeing what the law of God was designed to do, we're going to find what it was not designed to do. And the first limitation is this: the law cannot restrain the sin nature. The law cannot restrain the sin nature. Let's look at verses 15 through 17. He says, "For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Now, these verses and those that we will yet read are not describing a split personality inside of us. They're not describing two different people inside of us. They're describing really the sin nature is what it's describing. The believer has two natures. Okay? The old sinful nature and a new nature that God has given us that we are enabled to please Him. But what this is really describing to us is the old sinful nature, that nature that all human beings are born with. Sin, while it can be taught, isn't taught. Okay? It is something that is inborn. And this passage is describing who we are by nature and the inability of the law to hinder anything about that sin nature. Even though we may want it to, the law cannot restrain the sinful nature. Now, this does not mean... Now, I want us to differentiate. Again, we're not talking about two people inside of us. We're not talking about two personalities. We're talking about a nature. Something that we gravitate to, okay? This does not mean the fact that the law cannot restrain the sin nature does not mean that the law cannot influence the refraining from sin. And let me explain it this way. Anyone who comes to a no trespassing sign can be influenced by that law to not trespass, okay, to not enter that private ground. However, the law cannot restrain the sin nature. In other words, if the sin nature wants to trespass, it doesn't matter how many laws there are, it will trespass. And in that regard, the law cannot restrain it. I think the gun laws are a good example of this. In 1791, in this country, there was one law on the books concerning firearms, okay, in the U.S. Since that point in time, because of crimes, because of the sin nature, because of an inaccurate view of the law's purpose, there are hundreds, perhaps technically thousands, of laws on the books today concerning firearms. Now, here's my question. Are things better or worse today concerning crimes using firearms? They're worse, far worse. In fact, if you can believe it, Brazil has almost twice as many laws on the books as the U.S. concerning firearms. Yet, there are four times as many gun-related crimes in Brazil than there are here. Twice as many laws, four times as many gun-related crimes. In fact, I don't know how dated my article is, but at the beginning of one year, there was some new legislation passed exclusively in Sao Paulo, Brazil, concerning gun laws. And in the first 2 weeks after the passing of that legislation, there was a spike in gun-related crimes. In fact, there were 140 deaths in one two-week period. And in the first 9 months after that legislation, there were 982 people gunned down in Brazil, including 90 police officers. That's the sin nature. That is the sin nature, and all of the laws in the world will not restrain it. Here are some things that we learn from these first verses here. First of all, we, believer or unbeliever, okay, we can desire what is right. Man has a will. He has the ability to exercise that will and the desire to do good, to be a good person. We see that all of the time in our world. In fact, if we were to go to Walmart right now and take a poll and ask people, do you want to be a good person? The vast majority would probably tell you, yes, I want to be a good person. Which leads us to the next bit of information from our verses. We can agree with what is right and wrong. Look at verse 16 again. It says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Meaning if a person wants to be good, it must mean that they do have at least a sense of right and wrong. And while the greatest portion of the world has a very tainted view of right and wrong, in particular, the basis of right and wrong, I believe most would agree that the Ten Commandments are good laws of conduct, okay? It is right to honor our parents. It is wrong to murder, steal, lie, and covet. We can desire what is right. We can agree with what is right. Yet our old sin nature still does what is wrong. We still do what is wrong, even though the law of God plainly says, worship only God. Honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. When was the last time we did one of those things? When was the last time we told a lie? When was the last time we coveted? When was the last time we loved something more than God? That's the sin nature. And no matter what the law of God says, sooner or later, that sin nature, as it desires, will violate it. And there's nothing that the law can do about it. Romans 3:20 reminds us, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We may desire to be good. We may agree with what goodness looks like. Yet we still do what is wrong instead. That's the sin nature, and it simply proves that the law within itself cannot restrain the sin nature. The second limitation this morning, the law cannot reform the sin nature. Now, if it can't restrain it, certainly it cannot reform the sin nature, okay? And if the truth be known, the sin nature cannot be reformed at all. Perfume companies are always looking for a new fragrance, something that is concentrated, long-lasting, and smells wonderful. In fact, next to the fragrance itself, concentration and longevity, okay, are what bring value to a perfume. Well, one of the strongest, most concentrated, and longest-lasting smells on the planet is secreted from the back end of a skunk. Okay? If you want longevity, if you want potency, there's not many things that are more so. However, there is absolutely nothing that one can do to that to make it into a pleasant fragrance. That's the nature of it. That's the nature of it. And no matter what one may do to the chemicals secreted from that skunk, its nature will not be changed. It stinks. It stinks. And so it is with the sin nature and the law of God. Now again, for the record, the law of God was not designed to restrain nor reform the sin nature. But for the sake of argument, here is why the law cannot reform the sin nature. First of all, the sin nature is not capable of goodness. The sin nature is not capable of goodness. Look at verse 18. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Now, I believe that Paul is speaking from his own past experiences in this matter, and he's using it as an illustration of what is true for every person at some point. Because everybody has a sin nature, and in our natural sinful state, Paul calls it the flesh, there is nothing good. It's the rough equivalent of taking a ladle and dipping it into a sewer and expecting pure, clean water to come out. That is the sin nature. By nature, it is not capable of goodness. No matter how hard we might wish it, or will it to be, we will not find goodness among sinfulness. Another reason the law cannot reform the sin nature is the sin nature is very capable of evil. The sin nature is very capable of evil. Look at verses 19 and 20. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now lest we think that Paul is playing the victim here and saying that he can't stop himself from breaking the law, think again. If that were the case, any person that even contemplated murdering somebody else would not be able to stop himself. Any person, in fact, children would never honor their parents. We would never pay for anything. We would always steal it. A person can heed the law, but the point here is that the law cannot reform that sin nature. When the sin nature wants to do something, the law will not hinder it. And the point that Paul is making is that when one wills to do good and does not do it, and when one does evil that he wishes he would not do, that's the sin nature. We have yielded to the sin nature. In fact, from the standpoint of the believer, it is because he has yielded to the sin nature rather than God that he sins. The sin nature is not capable of goodness. It is very capable of evil. And the sin nature sins regardless of what the law says. The sin nature sins regardless of what the law says. Verse 21. He says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. The law in this verse is really, it's a principle of truth. And the truth is, unsaved or saved, regardless of what we wish, while we have a sin nature, as we give into it, we will sin. And there is nothing that the law will do to change that. The sin nature is called the sin nature for a reason. It cannot be reformed. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. You see, there are laws against every single one of these things, yet they are still practiced. The law cannot restrain the sin. The law cannot reform the sin. And then lastly this morning, the law cannot release us from the sin nature. The law cannot release us from the sin nature. I once spoke to a man, an unbeliever, who was depressed to the point of not even wanting to live anymore. He was not suicidal, but he was just tired of life. He wished he had never been born. And the reason that he was in that condition was because of his failure to avoid sin. He told me, I want to be good. I want to be good. In tears, he told me, I try and I fail. I try and I fail. I try again, and I might go a couple days without doing that thing I hate. And then in an instant, I did it again. That's what our passage is describing here. He said, I can't take it anymore. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I have had it. Well, I took that opportunity to share with him the only way to be freed from the captivity of the sin nature. I shared with him Jesus Christ that day. But instead, he resolved to try again in his own strength. He has since given up altogether. He didn't commit suicide, but what I mean by that is he just gave up. He doesn't even try anymore. He just lets the sinful nature have its way with his life. The law is holy. The law is just. The law is good. But it cannot release us. It cannot free us from that old sinful nature. But because the law is holy, just, and good, one can delight in the law. One can delight in the law. Look at verse 22. He says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." This appears to be speaking of the new nature of the believer, the one who recognizes that the law of God reveals his holy character. It reveals what pleases God and what displeases him. And in that regard, we can delight and be joyful in the law because of what it does reveal to us. But the sin nature delights in breaking the law. Look at verse 23. It says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Here Paul differentiates two laws. He talks about the law of the mind, and that is that which recognizes holiness, justice, and goodness, and agrees that with God that it's good. And then there's the law of the members, or flesh, as Paul puts it here. And that is, no matter how badly man might want to do good within his own strength, the sin nature ruins it for him. That is a law, because the sin nature cannot be restrained. It cannot be reformed, and therefore man is captive to it. And it delights in warring against the law of the mind. What a terrible predicament to be in. No matter how hard man tries within himself, no matter how hard he works, man is captive to that old sinful nature. Verse 24 says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That word "wretched" there actually speaks not just about man's sinful condition, but actually more about the misery that it produces. The misery that one is in as he tries over and over and over again within his own power to beat sin. And is finally so exhausted and so miserable and so tired that he's finally given up. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Only Jesus Christ can release one from the power of the sin nature. He did it for us. He released us from that body of death by dying in our stead, and through faith in him, we have died to the sin nature and have been released from its captivity. Let me remind you of what chapter 7, verses 4 and 6 said. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. We have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Now, verse 25 does not teach that the believer simultaneously serves both natures. It's telling us that both natures still exist. They will conflict with one another. Only now, we as believers have a choice as to which nature we will yield to. The sin nature or the divine nature. The unbeliever needs to realize that serving the law cannot release him from the sinful nature, but Christ can. The believer needs to realize that serving the law cannot release him from the sinful nature, but Christ did. Christ did. While the sin nature will exist until we are in heaven, we as believers are no longer bound to it. we now have a choice in this matter. The law cannot restrain, it cannot reform, it cannot release. It was not designed to do that. It was never a means of being righteous. But I thank God that Jesus Christ is. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And Galatians 3:24 again says, "The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified, declared righteous by faith." This actually made me think about the difference between walls and doors. Imagine for a minute that we were here late at night for some reason. It's dark outside. We're in here worshiping together, whatever we're doing. Maybe, it ain't going to happen tonight. Don't worry, okay? But anyway, we're in here. It's dark. And all of a sudden, the power goes out. And it is like pitch black. Power goes out throughout the whole city. It is pitch black in here. And in that instant, we hear an explosion in the building. Not in this room, but in the building. And we're scrambling. We don't know which way to run. And we run into a wall, and no matter how hard we push against that wall, we can't get out that way. But what happens is we start in the darkness groping through the darkness, looking for a way out, until finally we find a door and we're out. Okay? Well, that is what the law did for us. The law of God was our tutor, okay, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We may want to escape through the wall, but the wall was actually the one thing that held us back and was holding us in, also guided us right to the escape. And again, that is the purpose of the law. The law was our tutor, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And get this, through faith in Christ, the Spirit restrains the sin nature. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Through faith in Christ, rather than reforming the old nature, we are given a new one, a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And through faith in Christ, we are released from the captivity, from that binding of the sin nature. Peek just quickly, chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. He says there, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, forgive us for those times, Lord, that in the past and perhaps even recently, that we have attempted to be self-righteous, that we have looked to the law as legalism, as a means of holiness. And Lord, forgive us for that, because that's not its intent. Lord, it is only as we yield to your Spirit that we will do good. Lord, we thank you for who we are now in Christ, and that while the law, in our distorted way of thinking, we may have thought it could bring us righteousness, Lord, we thank you for the gift of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ, and now what the law could not do, Jesus Christ has done. He can and does restrain that sinful nature. He has given us a new nature by which we can now live. and we have been released from the captivity of that old sinful nature. And Lord, we understand that the only reason that that sinful nature rears its ugly head in the believer's life now is because we have chosen to let ourselves yield to it. So pray, Lord God, in particular, Lord, as we make our way into chapter 8, Lord willing, the first of the year, that you would just educate us on what a victorious Christian life truly looks like. And Lord, we look forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen.